Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6 again this week. We're approximately halfway through our sermon series looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And last week, we began sort of a little mini series inside of this series. So last week, we began this time where we're going to set the month of February aside to look at one specific part of the Sermon on the Mount, this section in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, the section where Jesus teaches us to pray called the Lord's Prayer, where we're going to take the entire month of February and we're going to have this time set aside to focus on this one teaching of Jesus. Because in this moment where Jesus gives us this teaching, we have this teaching on one of the most important subjects that we can understand. That as Christians, one of the most important things that we can have as a part of our life, that we can understand on a deep level, one of the most important things that we can grow in is the area of prayer. That we need to be growing in prayer. But we don't just have a teaching on prayer. What we have is God Himself speaking to us and saying, this is how you should pray. That if you don't know how to pray, if you're not quite sure what to say, if you're not quite sure what your prayers can include, if you're not quite sure what it means to pray, let me, God, the one who you're praying to, show you what it can look like for you to pray, to open up the doors of prayer for you to be able to understand what it looks like to pray. And so we want to take some time and set aside this time to look at what Jesus, what God Himself would teach us about what it looks like for us to speak to God. But we also have more than just a teaching on how to pray. We see Jesus's prayer also teaching us about God Himself. Teaching us about our relationship with Him, teaching Him about what's on God's heart for us and what God wants our heart towards Him to be, and even teaching us how to live, teaching us as like a roadmap on how to follow Jesus. And so Jesus gave us this prayer. We read it earlier today. Alex led us in the leading of the Lord, reading of the Lord's Prayer together. And the reason why, if you're wondering, well, why was Alex up there? What was that all about? We want to begin to open up the parts of our service to more people inside of our congregation and wanted to highlight or to have Alex come because we want you to know that it's not just, it's for anybody. Kids, students, adults. If you would like to be a part of our service, in the opening of the service, we're going to be looking this year to have some more people leading communion. We're going to have these opportunities to connect you with the congregation and have more voices and more members of our Hillside family up here. And so I want to encourage you with that. And Alex led us in the reading of the Lord's Prayer this morning from the New Living Translation. We're going to read it now from the New International Version where it will say this. This is Jesus's model prayer for us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And last week, I invited you into a little experiment. I invited you into an opportunity for us to connect with the Lord's Prayer on maybe a bit of a deeper level, maybe a bit of a challenge for the month. Last week we made available for you these cards. these prayer cards, where I invited you each day to take 20 to 30 seconds and to pray the Lord's Prayer each day. Now, we still obviously have some cards left, so if you weren't here last week and you want to be a part of that, on one side of the card is the Lord's Prayer. And so you can have it with you, you can put it in your pocket, you can take it with you wherever you go, you can put it on your fridge, so every time you go to get a snack, you can take 20 seconds and read the Lord's Prayer. You have the opportunity to have it with you. Then the other side is a calendar for the month of February. What was the challenge was to read the Lord's Prayer once a day, every day for the month of February. Now, today, you've already read it. So if you were saying, well, I wasn't here last week, or maybe you think, well, I grabbed a card last week and I haven't read it once. Now you can check off today and you can start fresh and new. And so if following the service today, if you'd like to come and grab a card, you can come and do that. They'll just be available right up here. There's lots of cards there. Take one, take two, take one for your whole family, take one, you know, one for family, friends, whatever that looks like. If we have to get more printed, we will gladly get more printed. It's a great opportunity. But the reason for it is twofold. First, as you read it each day, it will start to become ingrained in you. That if you take it and you read it every single day, as we move through the months, you'll discover that you'll need to read it a little bit less each day. And you'll start to memorize it. If you haven't already memorized it, it will start to just become something that you know, that each day you'll come, oh, it's the bread part. That's my favorite part because it reminds me of food. And you can read through it each day and it'll become something you start to know. But second, more than just a scripture memory, more than just a Bible verse memory exercise, it will start to challenge the way we think, start to inform the way we think, start to become part of the way that we start to see the world. As we keep it in front of us, then as we go through the day and something happens where we have to decide whether or not we're going to forgive someone, it will pop into our brain, forgive us as, or God, forgive me as I've already forgiven others. Oh, I guess I know what it is I need to do. That God, I don't want to forgive them, and then that will come into mind. That we will be able to have it shape the... I wonder how God thinks about me. Our Father in heaven. Oh, right. God loves me like a father. And it can begin to shape the way we think about God and think about our lives and think about our days. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, you're welcome to come and grab a card. If you want to do it right now, that's fine. If you're like, I'm going to forget if I wait till after church, come and get one or wait till after church. But you're welcome to take one, take two, take 10 or whatever and make sure that we can all be a part of this. But last week we began walking through the Lord's Prayer, and we began with the beginning of the prayer where Jesus shows us how to begin our prayers. And of all the titles that he could have given to us, of all the ways that we can understand God, the immortal, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful God who is capable of anything, who spoke the universe into creation, the God who came to earth incarnate and lived and died and was resurrected in order to pay the penalty for our sins, to restore relationship with him, of all the ways we could see and understand and view God, God himself says the way I want you to understand us is to think of me as your father. To think of me as your father. And so Jesus calls us to begin our prayers, our Father in heaven. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be your name. May your name be kept holy. That as much as God is our Father and all the beautiful imagery that brings for us as our children and or as his children. And we talked about last week that if you have a challenging relationship with your father, don't allow our relationship with God to be informed by our relationship with people, but allow God to inform that. Allow God to show us maybe what our heavenly father or what our earthly father should have been, could have been. Show us what perfected parenting looks like. Our Father in heaven, but then may your name be kept holy. That we recognize that as close as we are to God, God is still above and beyond, more powerful and greater than us. And then this week, we're going to take a look at the second part of this prayer, verse 10, which says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second part of the prayer serves as an invitation to God to come and work. God, come and bring your kingdom. God, come do your will here, now, in this place, in this time, right now, in our lives, in Airdrie, on earth, as it is in heaven. And it's this beautiful invitation for the supernatural to come and invade the natural, to where we want to be in God's kingdom. We want to see God's will come to earth, come to the world, come to our lives, come to our situations, come to our families. Come, we want God's will to be done here on earth, now, amongst us, just like it is in heaven. But I also think that as beautiful as this invitation is to God, I think that there's more to this portion of the prayer than just simply inviting God to come and work in the world around us. That I think there's more to this than just inviting God to come and work in the world in which we live. I think there's something much deeper here. And to help us see this, I wanna walk through and give you some advice, some tips, some teaching on how to study the Bible, on how to understand some things in the Bible, and on how to understand maybe some places when you're doing Bible reading, when you're doing Bible study, when maybe there's some things that you read and you're like, what does that mean? Or how? What does that phrase mean? What does that word mean? What do these words mean? How can I understand better what the Bible has to say? And what we're going to do is we're going to use the Bible to help us understand the Bible. Now, that seems like kind of a weirdly redundant circular statement. We're going to use the Bible to help us understand the Bible. But what this means is that when you come to a place where maybe you've got questions about what does this phrase mean? What is Jesus trying to say here? What is Paul trying to, what does this mean inside the pages of Scripture? One of the ways that we can help to understand those things is to look for other places in Scripture, particularly other places maybe in the same book, or maybe by the same author, that we know that there are some authors who wrote many of the different books. The Apostle Paul wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. And so when there's places where we can look and we can read a phrase and we can, I wonder what that means. One of the ways that we can try and understand and help us to discover is to look for other places where maybe in the same book or the same author has used that phrase that helps us to understand the phrase in question. So for this, as we're looking at Jesus saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we want to understand what does that mean? Well, one of the things that we can do to try and understand what that means is we can look for other places in Scripture where maybe Jesus has used terminology like the kingdom of heaven. That we can understand, okay, if Jesus is here is asking us to ask the kingdom of heaven to come, well, what does Jesus mean by the kingdom of heaven? Well, one thing we can do is look for other places in Scripture where Jesus will talk about the kingdom of heaven. And now what we can do is we can even narrow that down to other places in the book of Matthew. We're in the book of Matthew. So what does Jesus say about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew? And actually a phrase that we see Jesus use over and over again in a very specific way, which connects to what we're just reading, is Jesus will say over and over again, particularly in the book of Matthew, he will say over and over again, the kingdom of heaven is like. See, Jesus shows us to pray, your kingdom come like it is in heaven. Jesus calls us to pray that the kingdom of heaven would come to earth. So to understand what we're praying here, we need to understand what Jesus means by the kingdom of heaven. And to do that, we're going to take a quick detour over to Matthew 13. You can turn there if you like or not. We're not going to read through it. We don't have time to do that today. But if you want to get a look at what we're looking at, you can go there. Throughout the Gospels, the story of Jesus's life, one of the things that we see over and over again is that Jesus taught through something called parables. Now, parables were like short stories. They're not true stories. They weren't true anecdotes. They were like a fable. They were like a tale that Jesus would tell to help illustrate, to help teach us a spiritual principle. And so Jesus, over and over again, one of his favorite ways to teach was through parables. And so in Matthew chapter 13, we see Jesus, the whole chapter is Jesus teaching on parables. It actually contains 7 or 8 parables. It kind of depends on how you choose to want to divide them up. There's one place where it's kind of like Jesus tells one story and then sort of tells a different story, but it's kind of connected. And so you could say 7 or 8. But in this chapter, Jesus begins 6 of these parables all in a row with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And we see it in Matthew 13, verse 24, verse 31, verse 33, verse 44, verse 45, and verse 47. In every one of those verses, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then he goes on to tell these parables, these stories, to help us understand what the kingdom of heaven is like. He tells us the parable of the weeds, or if you've been a part of a church for a long time, or maybe you have a more formal translation of the Bible, it might be the parable of the wheat and tares. Next, Jesus tells us the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the yeast, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl, and the parable of the net. And we don't have time to read through all of these parables. We don't have time to formally unpack them, although I would encourage you to go and read them for yourselves. But today, we're not going to have time to do that. So you're going to just have to trust me that what I'm going to tell you in the next part is true. Now, I would invite you, go and check. Don't just blindly trust me. Hopefully, you can trust me. But if you want to, please go and check. But Jesus tells us these parables, and there's something crucial that we need to see and understand in regards to each one of these parables. And of course, that's what they're about. Or, in a different sense, what each one of these parables is not about. See, even though Jesus is telling all of these stories, and he begins each one with "the kingdom of heaven is like," not one of these stories is decidedly about the afterlife. The kingdom of heaven is like, but these stories are not about what we would connect to heaven. They're not stories to teach us what life will look like after we die. They're not about heaven or hell or anything connected to the afterlife. Jesus will say, "The kingdom of heaven is like," but then he doesn't go on to teach us about what heaven is like. Instead, each one of these stories, even though they are about the kingdom of heaven, they're about this life right now. They're about principles on how we're to live our lives now, how we're to understand our lives now, how we're to understand our relationship with Jesus now in this life. Jesus talks about devotion. He talks about righteousness. He talks about faith, about giving everything we have for Jesus, all as a part of this life, not about the life that's to come. It's not about "the kingdom of heaven is like," and then go on to describe what life is like in heaven. Jesus will say, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then he'll begin to speak about now. About how we can live now, about how we can follow him now. When Jesus speaks about the kingdom of heaven, he's not speaking about the afterlife. He's not speaking about life after death. He's not speaking about what life is like in eternity. See, the kingdom of heaven isn't just a future concept. It is. There is a kingdom that is coming that we will get to be a part of later on in the future. But when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of heaven, he speaks about now. He speaks about our lives today. And so if these are the things that Jesus talks about when he talks about the kingdom of heaven, and we go back to the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus instructs us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's not simply an invitation for heaven to supernaturally come and impact the world around us. It's not an invitation to say, God, Airdrie really needs you. Would you do something about that? God, this world is falling apart at the seams. God, would you do something about that? It's not just an invitation for God to somehow go and work out there. But I believe that Jesus is inviting us to invite God. God is inviting us to invite God, not to work out there, but to come and work in here. To come and use me, change me, make me able to do this. The kingdom of God and his will would be done here on earth in the world around us, but not in just some supernatural way apart from us. But I believe that Jesus is inviting us to invite God to use us, to use me, to use you to bring his kingdom of devotion, of righteousness, of faith, of commitment, for us to bring that to the world around us. See, the kingdom of God, it's not just this other place. It's not just this other concept. It's not just this other thing that exists out there somewhere. The kingdom of God is everywhere that anyone is living their life for Jesus. It's every place where Jesus is being lived out in the lives of men and women. The kingdom of God is not this other thing. The kingdom of God is us. And it's important that we see and understand that we are the ones meant to bring the kingdom of heaven with us, because it's a reminder that without the kingdom of heaven coming with us, without us bringing the kingdom of God, the world will never find it and will never see it. See, we as people, as followers of Jesus, and just as people, I think sometimes we tend to think that we exist before Jesus and the world around us exists in sort of this spiritually neutral territory, where there's God and good on one side, and where there's Satan and there's evil on the other side. And we exist kind of in the middle here. And God's trying to pull us and get us to go this way, and evil and Satan are trying to get us and pull us to go this way, and we're kind of stuck in the middle, and but hopefully we're all going to choose to go this way. But the Bible tells us that there's nothing in the middle. The Bible will tell us that before we came to know Jesus, we weren't just in this middle area, this middle gray area, that we're just in this limbo, that we were neutral with one way or the other ahead of us. But friends, the Bible will tell us that before Jesus, the Bible will say that without Jesus, we're enemies of God. That without Jesus, we're haters of God. That we're not in the middle. That without Jesus, we're all over here. And so we don't just hope that somehow, well, the kingdom of heaven will come and it will draw people out of the middle over here. But what we see is that what actually we're called to do and we're called to be is we're called to be the kingdom of heaven that goes over here and grabs our friends and our neighbors and our colleagues and our coworkers and brings them with us to the other side. That we don't just stand on this side and pray that, God, would you do something with those people? But Jesus calls us to pray that we would be people who would come and bring heaven with us. And so to pray this prayer is then not just to invite God to come and work in this world, but it's to invite us to come, or to invite God to come and work in us to work in the world. Through us, through me, through the way I live, through the way I think, through the way I interact with this world around me. To pray this portion of the Lord's Prayer means that we're inviting Jesus to help us make decisions and to take actions to bring God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, here, just like it is in heaven. That we pray this prayer, God, come and bring your kingdom, but God, it's come and use me to bring your kingdom. When we pray this portion of the Lord's Prayer, we're praying for things that will help us bring the values of the kingdom of heaven here, now, just like in heaven. Things like kindness and mercy, words of truth and grace. Jesus will say that the world will know you're my followers by the way you love one another, that we are called to put other people above ourselves, that we're called to sacrifice, that we're called to give, that we're called to live in a way that would set us apart from the world so that people would look at our lives and understand and see you look like heaven. You look like the kingdom of God. Now, they may not use that phrase, but we would know that you look like Jesus, you look like God, you look like heaven, that we would be used to bring heaven to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done, is us praying that we would bring the things of God's kingdom to the world. It's not asking God to do something, to work, to come and supernaturally impact the world, to bring his kingdom to earth apart from us, but to pray this prayer, God, would your kingdom come, would your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is to meaningfully look over everything in our lives and in our world, to look at our families, to look at our jobs, to look at our sports teams, to look at our clubs, to look at all the things that we live in and operate, all the rules we have, to look at our neighborhood, to look at each place where we live, work, operate, and exist, to meaningfully look at over all of these things and say to it, Lord, let this world become more like heaven. Let our lives become more heavenly. And God, use me to do it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you choose to partner with us. God, I thank you that when you created each one of us, when you brought us into this world, when you brought us into this place, when you brought us to where we are even now, God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And God, I thank you that we can understand our plan and our purpose to be bringing your kingdom to come. That for each one of us, we are charged with bringing the kingdom of God with us wherever we go. That we are charged to live our lives in a way that people would see and know what the kingdom of God looks like because of the way we live our lives. And so, God, I pray for each one of us here today. God, as we leave this place today, as we go from here, as we go now, God, would you help us to be ambassadors, to be emissaries, to be pictures, to be the embodiment of what it means to follow Jesus, to be a picture of the kingdom of heaven. God, would you help us to impact the world around us, the places that we've been called and created to live and to exist for your kingdom. And God, I pray for each one here today who maybe even in these moments can struggle with believing that to be true about themselves, can struggle with maybe believing that to be true about the place they find themselves, maybe struggle to believe that to be true about themselves, that they are somehow meant to bring Jesus. God, I pray that you would begin again to reveal to us, your children, our Father in heaven, would you reveal to us, your children, again, about how you have purposefully and meaningfully created us and positioned us to do the things that only we can do, to have the relationships that only we can have, to have the connections that only we can have, to live where only we can live, to work where only we can work, to exist where only we can exist. And how, God, you have placed in us everything we need to make a difference in the world around us as long as we trust in you. And so, God, I pray that as Ludovic talked about this morning, that we would be a people who would trust in you and believe in your ability to make a difference in the world and to make a difference in the world through us. God, I pray that you would use us. God, use each one of us to bring your kingdom to earth. Use each one of us to bring your love and your mercy and your grace and your truth, God, to the world around us. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth today, now, as it is in heaven. And God, thank you that you want to use us to do that. In your name we pray. Amen.
If you don't know sin and shame, you don't need forgiveness.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu. Then, Our Leadership, from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power, together. As family, we go.
Thank you, Lord. I have a shepherd who always keeps me safe, and I found a healer, yes, I did. What else compares? It's like nothing I've ever known.